Hello and welcome to this week's Irish Wolves podcast. My name is Tony Lawler and the season is only days away and I'm really looking forward to getting back to watching Wolves live as I take a trip over to Leicester on Saturday with the bold Mick McQuillan, and hopefully we'll have a report next week on our day and the thoughts of anyone and everyone that we meet and what hopefully will be a great day in Leicester. Anyway, getting back to this week, and my guest this week is a chap called Conor O'Keefe from Cork, down the deep south again. Conor has some great stories from following Wolves since 70s and 80s. He'll share them with you today and hopefully you'll enjoy them. Hi, Conor.
Hi, Tony. Can you hear me?
I can indeed. How are you?
Very well. Very well. And you?
I'm doing all right.
I'm just looking at the pictures on the wall behind you.
Well, geez, hold on a sec. There's Neves, Mike Bailey, Robert Plant, Nuno's up there as well, Paul McGrath, Willie Carr is even there. The programmes and all sorts of stuff from years gone by keeps me going. That's Fernando Hierro behind me there. I met him 10 years ago at the Europa League final.
All right.
In Dublin, yeah. So
that was the Braga game?
Porto and Braga, was, I think, yeah.
Yeah, I was at that.
Yeah, I was doing driving for UEFA, you know. I had Mr. Infantino, he was the main man there at the time. Had him driving around for a week, yeah. Good old fun.
There was a lot of Liverpool fans bought tickets that time because they thought that they were going to get to the final. Irish Liverpool fans, we'll say.
All right,
so
yeah.
When it came to Liverpool, obviously didn't get there. I can't remember what happened, though. But there was about 10 tickets up for grabs. And are you still there? Cause,
yeah.
Can you hear me? You can?
Yeah, sorry.
And so I went up. That's the only reason I went, was just because the tickets were there. Do you know that kind of?
Yeah, it wasn't
good
a
good night. Now.
Wasn't a great
bad game. Bad game. Yeah. Was it nil all or was it 1-0?
It was 1-0. Didn't Porto win 1-0?
Yeah.
Well, it was a great experience. Now, I was hoping to do the same for the Euros. The games were knocked on the head here, you know. I was all lined up for doing that, you know. So,
oh, very good.
Yeah, bit of it. I actually had tickets as well through. We do it for the Europa League and the Champions League every year. The UEFA lottery, you apply and they have a lottery for a draw for a certain number of tickets. And we actually got, myself and his son got two tickets for all the games in Dublin, you know. But, but again, Ireland didn't qualify anyway, so we probably would have sold them, you know. But I was just thinking, actually, the last time I met you was Mick Cotter's funeral there.
That's right, yeah. So it was a year ago now, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, over a year. It's hard to believe, yeah. So,
I still have strawberries out in my glass house that Mick gave me, and this was the best year I ever had from.
Yeah.
I had loads and loads and loads and loads of strawberries, and every time I went out picking them, I was thinking of him all the time. Do you know that kind of way?
Yeah, it's great. It's great. It's a great way of remembering. I have a fuchsia bush out the back that a friend of mine gave to me about 10 years ago. She passed away there for 5 years ago, you know. So every time you look out and you see it in flower, and you kind of, it's a great, fantastic way of remembering people, actually. I suppose we're getting on to talking about things, football and Wolves. Did you play football locally there in Cork when you were growing up?
No, I played in street leagues.
Yeah.
Because there was no, when I was young, there was no soccer at all. And I played in street leagues and things like that. And then we'll say the local soccer club, Park United, was founded when I was about 10.
Yeah.
And I was never involved. I suppose I just didn't have the interest at the time. I don't know what the story was. Now, I became very interested in it as years went by, and I gave 10 years as secretary of the club and things like that. But
yeah,
I never actually played, except I might add, for in 1992, we were having a pre-season tour of Galway. We played Murphy United.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe 1994, I can't remember now. But anyway, I was brought on as a kind of a cameo sub for the last 5 minutes, you know, just. And the first minute the ball came near me, I went over and did my knee ligaments.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. And actually, if I remember rightly now, the fellow who was closest to me at the time was Donny Farrar. Did you ever hear of him?
No.
Played League of Ireland.
Did he, yeah?
He played League of Ireland for Galway, I think. Maybe before. Maybe he was on the way in this time, or was he on the way up? I can't remember.
Yeah.
But I've an awful funny feeling that I came across his name again lately. I think it was either his niece or his daughter was one of the two girls that spent the night in Galway Bay. Do you remember on a surfboard there about a year ago?
Yeah,
two girls got swept out to sea and they spent the night. I'm sure it was one of his, to someone belonged to him, one of the two girls was.
Yeah,
Danny Farrell.
The name, yeah, the name was familiar for some reason, all right. Yeah, it could have been, could have been to do with that, yeah.
Jeez, but anyway, that was tears and tears and tears, and the tears weren't mine. The tears were the laughter of all the lads on the line. Like, they thought it was the funniest thing ever.
Yeah.
But I'll never forget it, Tony, the pain driving home. And I was driving home. Like,
Jesus. Oh, yeah.
It was the same day, actually. Ireland beat Germany 2-0. Ireland beat Germany 2-0 in a World Cup. It was a pre-World Cup game, so that must have been 94.
94, yeah.
Do you remember that Gary Kelly scored? I think they beat them 2-0. Ireland beat Germany 2-0 in a pre-World Cup friendly.
Yeah.
Or was it maybe... Yeah, I think it was. I think
was it in Germany?
I can't remember now. I can't remember. But I remember listening to it on the radio going down and all the lads were delighted, except me, like, because I was trying to stop. I was trying to keep the same speed the whole way down along, so my leg didn't have to move.
Yeah, I did.
Accelerator.
Oh, I did, yeah.
There was no cruise control in those times.
No. Yeah, I just had a similar experience driving after breaking my ankle in a match. The last competitive, what I'd call competitive football match I played, you know, broke my ankle. So, drove home, went to a concert that night, actually, and went to hospital the following day in pure agony. The things you do for football and music.
Yeah.
So we're getting on to all things Wolves then. How did they come onto your radar?
A friend of mine actually tells the story. He was 5 years older than me. We lived in a kind of a small road, a kind of a cul-de-sac. There wouldn't have been that many houses in it back then. But he said, kind of, each day after school, I'd be home from school before them. They were a bit older than me. And I'd be out in the road and I'd have my hands up over my head and I'd be shouting, Arsenal, Arsenal, or Chelsea, or whatever it might be, you see. And eventually he called me aside and he said, Connor, you can't do this. You have to pick a club and you have to stick with it. Oh, I said, fair enough, Brendan. I said, what club will I pick? Well, he said, I don't know. He said, you decide. And at the time, actually, I heard one of your earlier podcast guys going on about it. There was these club crest stickers that you could get from buying Esso Petrol or something like that.
Yeah, Esso.
And I was getting my dad to collect them for me, and I had my, and then of course there was these soccer stickers that you got with chewing gum or something like that. But anyway, I had a picture of a Wolves player in my hand, and I showed it to him. I said, "How about Wolves?" I said, "Are they any good?" "Oh, Connor," I said, "they're brilliant." He said, "They're absolutely brilliant. You should really support them."
Yeah.
So that's it. I've been a Wolves fan ever since. Now I don't know who the sticker was. I kind of had it in my head that it might have been Phil Parks.
Yeah.
But I'm talking 1970, 71 now, so.
Yeah.
I don't know, was he playing? Was he there then? I'm not sure.
No, he was there, yeah. Phil Parks would have been there around in that time, yeah. Yeah, because he missed. He was 72, UEFA Cup final he played in, and he would have been there a few years before that.
Well, it was, I'd say 70 or 71. So it's been that way ever since. I was, back then, like, there was no such thing as seeing a game. Like, the first game I ever saw as a child, I'd say, on television, bar the 1974 final against City.
Yeah.
The first League Division One game that I saw was in Dublin in the early 70s. I'd say the mid to late 70s, where match of the day.
Yeah.
It was actually the West Brom that were playing.
Yeah.
But, it was the first time I ever saw a game on television. Do you know, bar two games, actually, the 74 final.
Yeah.
And the Shamrock Rovers 11 against Northern Ireland, I remember. No, there have probably been UEFA games, but I'm talking about games that I had an interest in or else that were Division One.
Yeah. It was hard following teams back then, just purely getting information, yeah.
Yeah, and, I couldn't. I remember I went to London on a school tour in 1978. I think, or 79.
Yeah.
And I saw a Wolves scarf for the first time in a shop. And I went in and I bought it. I still have it to this day. And I think that Wolves might have been in FA Cup semi-final around the same time against Arsenal. I have a funny feeling that I remember hearing the result while I was in London, that it may have been April, May time. You know, that kind of a...
Yeah, yeah.
You remember now?
Yeah.
I think it was then, yeah.
Yeah, they did play Arsenal in a Cup semi-final in the late 70s, yeah.
Yeah.
79... Yeah,
I think it was 79, maybe. Yeah, it'd have been about 14. Yeah.
I think they were beaten in replay, yeah.
And I remember as well coming home from school, being in primary school now, but meeting Gary Cotter for the first time.
Yeah.
And, like, the word on the street was that this guy had trials for Wolves. And, you know, he was home from England and, geez, I thought he was God.
Yeah.
I looked up to him so much. And he had a Wolves cap Yeah. A peaked cap. First time I'd ever seen one. I was in awe of it. Absolute awe of it.
When was that?
Gary was still in school.
Yeah.
So I would say leaving cert age for him, which would have been 16, 17 at the time. And I'd say I'm 7 or 8 years younger than him. So that'll tell you. But I remember, God, that story about this fella in Trials for Wolves. Like, I thought that he was in these days.
Yeah.
And I used to be listening to him slagging the Chelsea fans and things like that across the street after school. You know, it was very, very, I used to shadow him. I don't think he realised it, but I used to shadow him. Just to get near him. Yeah?
You can get arrested for that these days. Oh, Lord. So anyway, with all the trouble getting to watch games and all that, when did you actually get over to Molineux or get to see Wolves in the flesh, as you say?
First time ever was final game of the season, 1991, Wolves Portsmouth. Gary and myself went. I remember at the time that you could get a car and as many and a car and four adults on the boat for £100.
Yeah.
And there was only two of us going, but it was affordable then for the first time ever. Do you know that kind of a...
Yeah.
And of course, we were staying at Gary's sister's, so we didn't have accommodation to pay for and things like that, you know. So Bull, Butch, and maybe Dennison scored. Yeah. We won. We beat him 3-1. 2-0, 2-1, 3-1 then in the last few minutes again.
Yeah.
And I think, if I remember it, there was a lot of the ground closed at the time. I think the old timber stands were up and they had gone on fire. They were torn down before the following season and that, but I'm not certain.
Yeah.
And I never forget. I think there was 12,000 or something like that at the game, but I couldn't believe the amount. Everybody was standing.
Yeah.
Even though there were, you know, but the number of guys who just sang from the first whistle to the final whistle, they never stopped. It was just, where are they getting their energy from? Do you know, that kind of singing and dancing and jumping and hopping and everything.
Yeah.
So it was great to, it was a great experience.
My first Wolves game would have been this year, 1990 in London against West Ham, you know, and it was in the West Ham on the stand at the side, and like the Wolves supporters, like as everything was around that time, whatever, a couple of thousand behind the goal, in effectively in a cage, you know, and it was non-stop, and they were, West Ham won 4-0. It was Liam Brady's last game of the season, Liam Brady's last game for West Ham, and it was all, you know, it was like as if the script was written before the game, you know, and but it was just great to see the Wolves fans there, and you know, the closest I'd been until I got to Molineux years later, you know. But so what would be your standout game that you were at watching Wolves?
It would have to be the 2003 playoff final.
Another man who was there, were you there? Yeah,
yeah, I was. Yeah.
I
flew over on Monday morning into Bristol,
and
I got a taxi up then to Cardiff, and but I had no ticket,
And
I met Gary there. It kind of spoiled a lot in the morning because we were just looking for this elusive ticket and trying to get a ticket and we couldn't. The pub's opened and we went into a pub and you're sitting down there with your pint, but you were constantly looking around your shoulder, looking to see where, you know, would you see where was the ticket going to come from, and it wasn't coming. And we were there now a good hour and a half, like, and we were getting very, I was getting very worried, you know. We went down, I don't know, there was a kiosk or something like that. It was like a door in a wall and the whole office wasn't much wider than the door itself.
Yeah.
It was a ticket kiosk and we were down there and we were trying to get something and the girl there had nothing. We were talking and next thing this guy comes past. No, I'll try and describe him for you. He had a Wolves top on. Had blood all down the side of one face. His ear was all scabbed. There was blood all over his shirt.
Jeez.
There was a smell of stale beer off him. He'd slept in his clothes and I'd say maybe not for one night, maybe for two nights.
Yeah.
And he was a Wolves fan that was on his way to the game and they stopped in Wales, himself and his buddy. They got arrested. They were fighting.
Yeah.
And the buddy, he was bailed, but his buddy wasn't bailed. So, buddy was the bigger transgressor, obviously.
Yeah.
And he certainly was not the kind of guy that you would trust. No way. Do you know that kind of way?
Yeah.
I heard him saying he had a ticket for sale for £140.
Jeez.
His buddy's ticket.
Yeah.
And I was desperate at this stage. And I was as much desperate, really, now, to tell you the truth, for Gary, because I felt I was spoiling his enjoyment, you know?
Yeah.
That instead of being in the pub and lapping up the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Here was the two of us wandering around trying to get my second ticket, you know. So
yeah.
He went off down the street and I followed him down. I stopped him and I stood about 4 feet back off him, to tell you the truth. And I said, can I see the ticket? And he showed me the ticket and I said, right, this is what I'm going to take. And I took the £140 out of my wallet and I paid him. I nearly cried when I heard McQuillan saying in one of the earlier podcasts that he ended up with too many fucking tickets. Excuse my French.
Oh, yeah.
Going, Jesus, how come I didn't give it? Anyway, I paid him the £140 for the ticket and myself and Gary went off, met a few fellas. We had a few pints, enjoyed ourselves. And I was a bit nervous going into the ground. I said, God, I hope this isn't a forgery, nor I'd be stopped. Or, you know, that kind of.
Yeah.
But anyway, I got in, got down to my seat, and I looked, and who was I sitting beside? Only my men, who I'd bought the ticket off of.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was kind of keeping my distance from him. We didn't talk. I kind of kept well away from him. And next thing you know, it was 15 or 20 minutes in, Max Kennedy sticks it in the back of an HSC, and I jumped up, and I turned around, and I gave him a big high five, and he gave me a high five. Do you know that kind of?
Yeah.
Tony, by the time the third goal went in, we were hugging each other. I didn't care.
Yeah, you should have asked him to give you 20 quid back for every goal he scored. You might have got most of your money back.
And I remember ringing my buddies back home at halftime.
Yeah.
A couple of fellas that I knew I was gone to the game. Like, I was just delirious. Yeah. And even at that, you know, Sheffield United had a big reputation at the time. I'm sure they were a couple of goals down against United, and they came back to draw and win on penalties or something like that in a cup game the same season. And they had a reputation as the comeback kings, you know what I mean? So even a 3-0 up, you know, and next thing they get the penalty and you're kind of, Jesus, if they get one here, do you know what I mean? It's, you know, you could be going into squeaky bum time, but sure.
Yeah.
When the penalty was saved, that was the end of it then, you know?
I think even, you know, in those games and at Wolves, like, even a 3-0 up, you're kind of giving yourself, geez, you know, maybe with 10 minutes to go, we'll be able to relax. But now it's been most people's most memorable game, you know. And as we've said before, it's almost as if it got us onto the ladder for getting to where we are today, you know. Like, it was the first taste of the Premier League, this elusive league that everybody seemed to be managing to get a go at, except us. And hopefully now we're residents.
One of the games then I went to, I was at one of the games I remember really well. My first time seeing Robbie Keane playing. Was against Middlesbrough at home, November. It was November, November the 1st, but I can't remember the year. I suppose 97.
97, 98. And
he lobbed the keeper with 10 minutes to go to win. But I was with Mick Cotter that day, our friend Mick. And Mick always had a knack of getting me into the players' bar.
Yeah.
Every time we went to a game. So people would come up with 10 minutes to go to halftime and they'd hand me a ticket.
Yeah.
And it was entrance into the players' bar and again in after the game. And we met Robbie Keane inside. He had a cold the same day. He kept on coughing. He was coughing nonstop. He played with a head cold of some description. He wouldn't be allowed to do it now, Tony, but anyway. And I remember, you know, there was a couple of people, you know, we'd say important players and things like that in and out at the time. Although I don't remember exactly who, but I just do remember being in awe. Yeah. Nigel Pearson was there. Nigel Pearson was playing for Middlesbrough. He was there with his wife. Do you remember he managed Leicester afterwards, just the year before?
Before they won the league, yeah.
Nigel Pearson was there, and there was a few players around. We met Emerson.
Yeah.
Do you remember Emerson that played for Middlesbrough?
Yeah, a Brazilian lad, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, with kind of, Rasta type hair.
Yeah.
Met him inside the players' bar after the game, got a couple of photographs with him.
Yeah.
A few more of them. So, really, that was very enjoyable.
Very good.
I was at the Leicester and Wolves. Can't remember, was it a fifth round FA Cup tie? I'll tell you what it was now. It was shortly after the riot in, it was 1995, shortly after the riot in Lansdowne Road.
Yeah.
Do you remember the young fella that's pictured out in the middle of Lansdowne Road, bewildered looking?
He's from Wicklow, I think.
Yeah, well, at the following Wolves home game, David Kelly had him and his dad invited over.
Yeah.
It wasn't the following Wolves home game, sorry, it was the FA Cup quarterfinal game.
Yeah.
And David Kelly had him invited over and he was brought out onto the pitch at halftime.
Yeah.
But Kelly scored a diving header that day to win the game 1-0.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
It was one of my favourite ones.
Yeah.
Another I got engaged around the same time. I brought to treat her for, you know, our engagement. Yeah. I brought her home. I brought her over to two games. A Saturday game and a midweek. So
just to give her a taste of what was ahead.
I remember Mick again, players' bear, Mick Cotter, you know, into the players' bear. And we met Don Goodman before the game. No, he wasn't playing. And I don't know why. Was he injured? Was he finished? Was he think he might have been doing TV work or something like that?
Yeah.
But he's his son with him, a young fella called Curtis.
Yeah.
And my wife, of course, like my wife, no, Tony, a slitter, a basketball, a football, they're balls. End of story. Like, that's the interest she has, you know, So she got talking to Curtis anyway. And so Don asked her to babysit while he went off to watch the game, and sure enough, she did. She stayed in the players' bar with the umphla while I went out to watch it. And I often wondered what happened to him since, or Yeah. You know, but,
yeah. Well, he was still alive when she when you got back anyway, was he?
He was. He trusted her.
Oh, good.
So, the other game that I really remember well is just first game I brought my daughter to. It was the 2009 end of season game against Doncaster. No, it wasn't a good game.
Yeah.
We won it 1-0. What's his name? Yeah. The Hearts player. He used to play with Hearts. What was his name? The defender.
Berra.
With about 10 minutes to go.
Christoph Berra.
Berra. So I was at that game. I just enjoyed that because I'd gone on my own. I went into the Western. The Western was kind of the first pub that I was introduced to in Wolverhampton. And
yeah.
I brought her in with me and she sat in the book. She sat in the corner reading her book and I had my few pints and just got talking to different fellas. And next thing, one fella says, how long more will you be here? I said, we'll be here about half an hour. He said, good. He said, stay there. He said, I'll be back in half an hour. And he came back in with a big bag full of flags and books and little Wolves toys and different little things for her.
Yeah.
Do you know that kind of that he obviously knew somebody. And he went off just, I thought it was just feels nice. Do you know that kind of?
Lovely, So,
nice little touch.
Ah, yeah. So just on just getting onto the player side of things, who would have been your favourite players over the years? Seeing how you're at it since 70 and 71, so there's probably more than one.
Well, I don't have to tell you, like John Richards.
Yeah.
And now I'll never forget that, watching that 1974 Cup final against City.
Yeah.
And it was the first time I'd ever seen Wolves play. And I adored that. I watched it in a pub in Mitchelstown. I was only, 9 years old, but my friend's dad owned the pub, so I was allowed in to watch the game. So I can't remember or know what channel it was on. Or I heard somebody saying lately that it was only the second half. I don't remember that.
I remember. Yeah, RTE used to show the second half of the League Cup final for some good unknown reason. But, you know, rather than the full game. But, yeah.
So that's John Richards, I suppose, Dugan.
Yeah.
Derek Dugan. And especially, I'll never forget how proud I was the night that he played for the Shamrock Rovers 11. He hit the post in the first couple of seconds.
Yeah. I was at that game.
Do you remember that?
I was at that game. Yeah. I actually have the programme up there behind me on the wall.
I remember watching that in black and white at home. Yeah.
Great game. Very.
So
very,
that era, the next era then really is kind of Bull, Butch, Dennison.
Yeah.
Now, I was unlucky. The first couple of Wolves games I went to, Bully was always injured. I missed him.
Yeah.
Quite a few times now. After that, I suppose Dennis Irwin in 2013 or 2003 because the Irish connection and whatever else. And then I suppose to recently, Johnny, Cody, Jimenez, Neto and Traore sometimes.
he's your go-to player if no one else playing. If he's playing well, he's your favourite player. I think if most people are like that. He's kind of... He's your favourite player probably for about 2 minutes of every game.
My dad, but there was a nursery rhyme when I was a young fella. When he was good, he was very, very good. And when he was bad, he was horrid.
Yeah.
So.
Indeed. I think that could be it, all right, yeah. I know, well, hopefully the new man now will he might take him down a different route, you know, and be interested to see how most of the players get on. But after players, then who would your favourite managers have been over the years?
You know, I really like Graham Taylor. I got fierce excited when he came to the club for the first time, and we were supposed to have money, and the fans were waving the mock money at the Baggies fans, and we have loads of money, and do you know we're going to wipe you out, you know, that kind of way.
Yeah.
I was fierce excited for that. I thought, this is it. We're finally going to get there. You know, that kind of way.
Yeah.
But anyway, it didn't happen. Mick McCarthy, probably my favourite.
Yeah.
I would say. Davy Jones, because he got us to the Premiership for the first time.
Yeah.
And Nuno, although for me, the jury is out on Nuno. I think he was a fantastic player manager in that, like a family, do you know what I mean? That he was like the dad, and he had them all looking up to him, and you know, everybody was jumping to his tune. But you know, sometimes when you saw some of the games, you know, where we lost 4-0 to West Ham or 4-0 to Burnley or something like that, and you said, Jesus Christ, what's going on here? Like, there's no attempt at changing things or doing, you know.
Yeah.
So I wondered about him, but I don't know. I'm not the expert by any means, but
it's funny.
We'll see whether it was a good decision or a bad decision to get rid of him. You know?
Yeah. It's funny.
It'll be as interesting for us to see how he gets on as Spurs as how our new manager gets on with us. You know.
Yeah. Well, our guy, I think the new, you know, Lager will like, you'll have time, and it'll take him time to get used to the players and to impose his system on the players. So I mean, he'll be given that. I mean, there'll be the usual fans that, will be crying after we lost to Crewe at the week, you know, and they're,
yeah,
and that's just going to happen. But I think 99.9% of the fans will be behind them at the start of the season, and hopefully we get off to a good start. Nuno, I think, is going straight into the fire at Spurs, you know. He won't, yeah, there'll be no mercy there. He'll be under pressure from minute one, you know. So, you know, we'll be watching ours, and we'll keep half an eye on that, you know. But yeah, so one of the questions I always, and I come up with some nice little gems from people, is memorabilia. Do you have anything that you treasure at home?
Well, every ticket for every game I ever went to, I have it.
Yeah.
And I would also have programmes, and I would have been collecting a lot of the ALOB little magazines back from the early 90s, you know,
yeah,
that kind of
yeah,
way.
Yeah.
But I do what I do. I was six, I think. I was sharing a house with three others, and one of the girls that was in the house was from Charleville, which is Dominic Foley country.
Yeah.
And her cousin had an accident where she got a spinal injury, and they were trying to raise funds, and Dominic had donated a signed Wolves jersey. So every player in the squad signed it.
Yeah.
One of the white ones, remember the white Goodyear jerseys?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was being auctioned on radio.
Right.
And I more or less had it bought for £45. And next thing, there was a bid came in. There was a fella lived two doors down from me, a fucking QPR fan, who decided, do you know what, I'm going to make this deal and that. Well, and, he started bidding against me. I ended up paying £135 for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but the cause was good. I still have it upstairs. I have never taken it out of the plastic that it was delivered. I never put it on.
Very good.
It's just up there. Yeah. It's hanging. Yeah. I never got it framed or anything because I didn't really have a place to put it, and I did say to you, you know, Wolves might be high on my list of priorities in this house, but myself and my son, other than that, does nobody gives a hoot. Do you know what I mean?
Of course, yeah. So, and is your man?
It won't be taking pride of place in our living room, like.
So, and is your man still living 2 doors away from you? No.
No. He had a business actually. It was a business. He had a petrol station. Michael King is his name.
Oh, really?
Okay. He was a big QPR. Well, he wasn't a big. He was a big QPR fan.
Yeah.
But he was also involved in our local club as well. Do you know what? He'd have known me from that as well. You know?
Well, he'll lose out because none of us will ever go near his garage or passing anyway. You know?
He's long gone out of it.
Is he? Yeah. anyway, so Connor, it's been great having the old chat. Just kind of finishing off, I'd like to ask lads, a bit of hope. What are you looking for in the new season? What are you hoping for?
To get established in the top half, if possible, and maybe I would love to have an FA Cup run.
Yeah.
I really would. Disappointed 2 years ago to lose out to Watford, you know. So I'd love that. I think the ship needs to be steadied a little bit. There was a fairly big wobble, obviously.
Yeah.
Last season, 2 seasons at 7th, and was it 13th we finished? Was it
13th in the end? Yeah.
13th. Yeah. So steady the ship, do better than 13th, and drive on from there. Yeah. As you said, Lag. I don't know how to pronounce his name, but it's going to take him a little bit of while. He's probably fortunate in some sense in that the first three games we have are very tough games.
Yeah.
And maybe games that we mightn't be expected to get allowed out of anyway, you know, for argument's sake, if we were playing Burnley or, you know, any of the teams that we'd like to think that we'd take 3 points off of. And if you lose some of those, you could have fans getting on his back and losing patience. But it might be just as well that we have tough games at the start, you know, that kind of way. So maybe people's expectations won't be too high. But mine will, Tony, but I won't be one of the boars in it, that's for sure. Yeah.
No. So anyway, listen, great talking to you, Connor. And
likewise, John.
We'll see you sometime in the new season, and we'll get over to a game.
Yeah,
have a few points. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.